Chapter 10 Time Machines. In this chapter, wormholes and building a time machine, the role of negative energy, the grandfather paradox and others, time travel meets quantum gravity. Time machines are a different kind of case study from black holes or the mysteries of cosmology. Those phenomena exist, and a quantum theory of gravity seeks to explain why. Time machines don't seem to exist, and a quantum theory of gravity seeks to explain why not. Only such a theory will be able to decide between general relativity, which says we can travel into the past, and common sense, which suggests that time travel poses too many riddles to be possible. Blueprint for a time machine. Time travel into the future is uncontroversial. It's called life. All we can do is grip the wheel tightly. But wouldn't it be nice to have some control? Einstein's theories of relativity say we do. His first theory, special relativity, says that the throttle of a moving vehicle, be it a plane or a rocket, is also the throttle of time. The faster we move, the slower time passes for us compared to other people. On a New York-London airline flight, we age about 30 nanoseconds less than our brother who stays at home. It's not much, but it's enough to throw atomic clocks out of sync unless scientists compensate for it. At higher speeds, approaching that of light, we could age years less than the person who stayed home. Astronauts on a short but swift space voyage could return to Earth only to discover that thousands of years had passed and the human race had gone ape. No one has ever done such a trip for real, but astronomers have observed fast-moving subatomic particles that crossed the entire galaxy in what was, for them, the blink of an eye. So we all move into the future at our own pace. Because time passes differently for different people, the distinction between the past, present, and future must be subjective. What counts as now for me could lie in your past or someone else's future. For all of us to be right, all moments in time must exist equally. Most, though not all, physicists think time is laid out in its entirety like a landscape, and what we perceive as past, present, or future depends only on where our gaze happens to fall. The past is not past, it still exists and always will, and maybe we could visit it. Einstein's second, more advanced theory, general relativity, goes further and says that the past is accessible to us. If space-time is malleable, we can bend it like a glassblower to create a passage between far-flung locations in space or moments in time. The theory dictates how each patch of space-time curves, but is lenient about how the patches are sewn together into an overall shape. There's no shortage of shapes that allow for time travel. In the loop. General relativity is completely infested with time machines. Matt Visser, Victoria University of Wellington. Wormholes. The best-studied hypothetical time machine is a wormhole, a shortcut between two points in space-time. Just as a tunnel passing under a hill can be shorter than the surface street, a wormhole may be shorter than the normal route through ordinary space. If a wormhole connected New York and London, we could travel between the cities with a single step. Someone who didn't know about it would have to sit 7 hours on a plane, not counting the 7 hours passing through security checks. This wormhole is not a tunnel through the rock between the two cities, which would shave only 100 or so miles off the journey anyway. The wormhole is a brand new connection in space-time. Via this connection, the two cities can be literally just a few feet from each other. If we could venture outside space-time and look at the wormhole, an impossible view, but one that helps to visualize what's going on, it would look like an archway. The gap between the archway and the main region of space is the defining characteristic of the wormhole. It ensures that the two paths from New York to London remain completely distinct, unable to merge into a single path, even if the detailed shape of the wormhole or of the main region changes. Conversely, the wormhole can slide around without greatly affecting the shape of the rest of space. Those of us stuck inside space-time don't see any arch. We just see wormhole entrances, or mouths, which resemble crystal balls. Peering into the New York-London wormhole from the American side, we could see Big Ben. Someone on the other side would see our smiling faces looking at them. It's like a Skype video chat window, except that we could actually reach through the screen and touch the other side. Although I've described this wormhole as connecting two cities, we could use it to connect any two points, including different points in time. To use a wormhole as a time machine, the first and most difficult step is to find one. Relativity theory forbids us from making one ourselves because that would require tearing and reconnecting the fabric of space-time, a real no-no. But one might have been created during the formation of the universe and been locked in place ever since. The curved space-time around each mouth would give it away. Light rays passing nearby would bend in a distinctive way. Astronomers have looked for wormholes, so far without success. But let's imagine that they locate one someday. The next step is to move it into place. A spaceship could tow one of the mouths to another location. Recall the time passes more slowly for a moving object. The wormhole mouth is no exception. As it moves, time slows down for it. Consequently, the two mouths become separated not only in space, but also in time. Then we can bring the two mouths back together at a slower speed. The time difference between them will remain locked in. Towing a wormhole is a technologically advanced, but otherwise fairly benign operation. The wormhole mouth would probably be quite narrow, and as long as we keep pets and small children out of its way, we can drag it without leaving a trail of destruction. Nor does the towing operation change the internal length of the wormhole, which depends only on the arrangement of matter inside it. All towing does is reposition the mouth within ordinary space. At last, we can go through the wormhole. Depending on which mouth we enter, we travel into our own past or future. This kind of time machine doesn't have a dial allowing us to specify the time we want to go to. It's just a fixed difference. If we enter one mouth, we come out the other a certain number of years later or earlier. All tangled up. If time machines were possible, shouldn't we already have one sent to us as a gift from some kind traveler from the future? Actually, all plausible designs for a time machine prevent that from happening. They only allow travel to times after they were first built. If we set up our wormhole on January 1st, 2010, the farthest back we could ever go is January 1st, 2010. We couldn't travel back and give ourselves the machine before we'd made it. Sorry, but the inventor of the world's first time machine is going to have to build it from scratch. None of this is about to happen anytime soon. A physicist's job is to sketch out what is possible, as a way of probing the laws of nature. Engineers have to figure out whether it's practical. Negative energy. One potential roadblock is that a wormhole is inherently unstable. It wants to pinch off into a point of infinite or near-infinite density. In short, to morph from a wormhole into a black hole. To prop it up, we have to inject some energy that provides a gravitational repulsion, counterbalancing the tendency to collapse. That's easier said than done. Ordinary energy exerts gravitational attraction, so to exert gravitational repulsion, we need some very unordinary energy. It must be negative, an amount less than zero. That means we empty out a box, leaving a vacuum, and then continue to empty it, leaving literally less than nothing. Hey, what did you expect from a time machine? That you could build it out of paper mache? A weird contraption takes weird stuff. Note that negative energy is not the same as antimatter. When matter hits antimatter, they annihilate in a bang, leaving behind a blaze of radiation. If a particle with negative energy hits one with positive energy, they annihilate with a whimper, leaving behind zip, zilch, nada. All proposed time machines, including those that don't involve wormholes, either demand negative energy or have some other equally daunting requirement. At this point, relativity reaches the end of its rope. Negative energy doesn't exist in classical physics, but it does exist in quantum physics, providing a first hint that understanding time machines requires the merger of relativity and quantum theory. Quantum theory says that the vacuum is a dynamic place filled with fluctuating fields. If you can damp down these fluctuations, the vacuum will have less energy than usual, that is, less than zero energy. That is doable. One approach is to fight fire with fire. You can cancel out the fluctuations by creating offsetting fluctuations, just as noise-canceling headphones create offsetting waves that meet and cancel the outside noise. Another approach is a sort of quantum guillotine, a pair of parallel metal plates which chop off the fluctuations in the region between them, can reduce the energy below zero. Quantum leap. Not only do quantum processes let us stabilize a wormhole, they ease the task of locating one to begin with. Although relativity forbids us from tearing and reconnecting space, quantum fluctuations might evade this restriction and create wormholes of subatomic size. You could conceivably pluck one out of the vacuum and enlarge it to human proportions using a quantum field similar to the one that caused the universe to inflate very early in its history. However, there are limits. To create a shimmering blob of negative energy, you must extract energy from the vacuum, and you're eventually going to have to give it back again. Negative energy is basically an energy loan. Just as a debt is negative money that has to be repaid, negative energy also has to be repaid. What's more, you have to repay it with interest. The amount of energy you restore to the vacuum must overcompensate for the amount you extracted, leaving behind a net positive amount. In other words, you can't get something for nothing, even if the something is less than nothing. This restriction doesn't seem to be a showstopper. Physicists used to think that a useful wormhole would require producing an unrealistically large amount of negative energy, equivalent to the mass of a large planet, say, in an unrealistically tiny volume of space. But some now think that small amounts might do the trick. What's wrong with time machines? Time travel paradoxes are to science fiction what complex, drawn-out courtships are to Victorian novels. On close examination, none of these paradoxes is really all that paradoxical. The most popular one is that we go back in time and alter the past in such a way that it prevents us from going back in time. It usually goes by the name of the grandfather paradox, because of the morbid thought that you could go back in time, shoot your grandfather as a young boy, and prevent yourself from ever being born, in which case you couldn't go back in time and kill him, in which case you could go back, in which case you couldn't. You get yourself caught in an endless loop of contradiction. The paradox works with other familial relationships too, your grandmother, your mother, your earlier self, your whole civilization. It isn't really a paradox, though. It doesn't prevent you from traveling into the past. It just means that if you did try to kill your grandfather, something or other would stop you. It has to. The real source of the paradox isn't the time machine, but the notion that we are complete masters of our destiny. We're not. We can't do anything that violates the laws of physics, and preventing yourself from existing falls into that category. Another way to think about it is that there is only one past. How could you change it? If you go back into the past, you're part of it. In science fiction stories, what typically happens is that characters who change the past end up creating the very situation they wanted to avoid. Quantum leap. Quantum theory, being based on probability, adds a provocative twist to the resolution of the grandfather paradox. The key is that events can occur with a certain probability. Let's look at it in chronological order. You, the time traveler, walk out of a wormhole with a 50% chance. If you do, Grandpa dies. If not, he lives. The outcome? A 50-50 chance of your being born and later entering the time machine. So probability makes the whole story consistent. Another apparent paradox of time travel is the bootstrap paradox, whereby the time machine conjures something into existence. For example, a time machine could act as an all-powerful computer, able to provide the answer to any question that had an answer. The computer works simply by waiting for the answer to pop out of the time machine. Once it has the answer, it sends it back through the time machine to its earlier self. It's the ultimate cheat. The computer manufactures information out of nothingness. It's shady, but logical. Although the paradoxes aren't strictly paradoxes, something about them still bothers most physicists. What exactly prevents you from killing your grandfather if you try? There are many scenarios. Too many. You might fumble the gun. The gun could misfire. Another person could materialize out of the time machine and knock the gun out of your hands, and so on. Which will it be? The laws of physics can't decide, which is a serious failing. Given the initial setup, the laws should always be able to predict what happens. With a time machine, they can't. Almost anything could happen. As for the bootstrap paradox, it allows an effect to precede or even become its own cause, scrambling a sequence that relativity theory was supposed to preserve. If the distinction between cause and effect breaks down, children would give birth to their own parents, criminals would be punished before committing their crime, and students would get their grades before taking their tests. The world becomes a total muddle. The role of quantum gravity. Because time machines do such violence to the principle of determinism and the distinction between cause and effect, the fact that relativity theory permits them strikes physicists as just wrong. They conclude that the theory must be missing something, not that time machines are really possible, but they can't quite put their finger on what that something might be. Some, such as Stephen Hawking of Cambridge University, have proposed that a time machine sows the seeds of its own destruction. Photons of light are always passing through the machine. In so doing, they can pick up energy. For example, if the wormhole mouths are moving toward each other, a photon gets a boost as it exits one mouth and then re-enters the other. As the photon loops through the machine, it picks up ever more energy, without limit. This feedback loop is like the squeal of a microphone held close to a speaker. The sound goes in the microphone, out the speaker, back into the microphone, and soon everyone is covering his ears. If the photon starts off as visible light, it turns into ultraviolet light, then X-rays, then gamma rays, and beyond. Not only does it become a serious radiation hazard for anyone near the machine, but also its energy grows so enormous that it warps the space-time around it. Presumably, the wormhole would collapse. Other physicists think the feedback loop could be brought under control. For instance, the curved space-time around the mouth of the wormhole tends to defocus light, that is, cause it to spread out. This reduces the energy intensity and can squelch the feedback, just as turning down the gain on the microphone stops that ear-splitting squeal. The difficulty of identifying a restriction without an escape clause suggests that the answer must lie in a full quantum theory of gravity. Quantum gravity kicks in even before the time machine becomes fully operational. Let's look a bit more closely at how photons circulate through the wormhole. While the spaceship is still towing the wormhole mouth into place, a photon can enter one mouth, come out the other, and then travel through ordinary space back to its point of departure. It arrives after it had left. Once the wormhole becomes a time machine, the same photon arrives before it had left. After all, that's what it means to be a time machine. But at the instant when the wormhole becomes a time machine, the photon arrives exactly when it had left. Suppose the time difference between the mouths is 1 year and the two mouths are located 1 light-year apart. A photon enters one mouth, comes out the other a year earlier, and travels back through ordinary space, a journey that takes it 1 year. It returns home at its precise moment of departure. A split second earlier, the photon arrives within a Planck time of its departure. Whenever we see Planck, we know that quantum gravitational effects come into play. On Planck scales, distance fluctuates unavoidably, and the photon feedback loop amplifies those fluctuations, making them observable. At that stage, all bets are off. It will take string theory or another such theory to determine whether the wormhole, let alone Grandpa, survives or not. Until we actually have time machines, their main benefit is conceptual. Like black holes, they are an important test for a quantum theory of gravity. Most physicists hazard a guess that if a proposed theory allows for time machines, it's probably wrong. Disappointed? I am too. Most of us would give anything to have a time machine and be able to have a do-over for the mistakes we've made. But maybe we should be careful what we wish for. A time machine would be nothing but frustration. We'd see all the errors of the past and be utterly unable to rectify them. Maybe we're better off leaving our grandfathers in peace. The least you need to know. General relativity allows time travel. Time travel involves paradoxes, but none is a showstopper. Physicists worry that a time machine jumbles cause and effect. Settling whether a time machine is possible will require quantum gravity.